Today's scriptures is from Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 to 12. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped today after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful because you are the God who speaks to our lives and transforms our hearts. And we pray that may your spirit be the one that we listen today. May your spirit be the one also that empowers us to new beginnings so that we can bring hope to others through you. It is in your name that we Lent. And one of the things that has been great remembering through Lent is that it is also the time when we know that God has invested his life to bring us back to him. This is why this sermon series is about returning to the Lord with all our hearts. We have learned that he does in different ways, and there are specific words that we can remember that brings us back to God. The first one is that word, remember. And when we see this word in the Old Testament, in the scripture, it's not just a memory test. It's about learning that when we come in an agreement with God in covenant, we remember that covenant, and therefore there is an action happening, a consequence always when we remember. So if God is calling you to remember something, for sure it's going to be an action through that remembering. The second thing we learned was about Philippians 3. When we know, okay, God, I remember, and now what do I need to do? To press on. We remember that everything has been in the past. Those are experiences in your life. They come and they shape you to an extent, but they don't define who you are. What we do is we press on because we have a call from God that we know it doesn't end in this world, but it's also something that we carry for eternity through the Lord. And last week, we learned about the word repentance. Perhaps when we hear this word, it's a little bit scary, or sometimes we feel, is this something really? It's actually a beautiful process. It's a process of redirecting, returning to God, revalue what's important, and reimagine who you are for the Lord. Today we're learning another word, but perhaps if we find a visual way to explain this word, will be something. I know Diana is here, yeah. Many of you, quilt is beautiful. I wasn't a lot into quilting until I came to Texas, to be honest. And I started learning more about the value of quilting. One thing I have seen is quilting brings a story, right? In many cases, it's a story about it. Actually, I think I have shared with you before in another sermon series that we have about quilting, how one of our professors from seminary, he told us his story of how his wife did a quilting celebrating their marriage. And it was a beautiful quilt. And she showed it to her husband, my professor. And he said, it was beautiful, except the one in the very center. The one in the very center, that square, it was supposedly was like white, but it looked kind of yellow at that point. So when he was looking at that, he was really intentional in telling his wife how beautiful that quilt was, with the exception of that square. He says, everything is fine except that one in the middle. You women know what's happening, right? So what happened is when she saw that, she says, that's from my wedding dress. So he says, may I take the shoe that I just put in my mouth? Right? So we had a story, and one of the things that we learned about this quilting is it tells a story, and I have seen all of them here. We have great quilting going on for some of our students from the church. So quilting is beautiful, and I like this quote that says, beautiful things come together one stitch at a time. And I can see that God tells us the same. God also is kind of quilting our lives. And every time that there is one square of our story, he's capable to put those squares together And through that is a great story, one stitch at a time. How does he put them together? How is it that our story, whatever it is, the good, the bad, and the so-so can come together? And I think the way we can talk about it is through this statement, reconcile. When we reconcile with God and one another, we're capable to put that quilt together. Those things come together, and when you see it as a whole, you can see how beautiful God has been moving in your life. And difficult ones, you can say, you know, even there, I was able to see how God moved, and he transformed our lives to different ways. He has been doing this since the Old Testament with the people of Israel. And the story that we read today in the scripture is precisely about that, about how he's bringing that people back to him. We start with Joshua. Now, you remember Joshua, at this point of the scripture, they are ready to cross to the promised land. Who was before Joshua the leader of the people of Israel? Moses. Now, did Moses cross to the promised land? He did not. He disobeyed, so he did not. He was able to see the promised land, but he wasn't able to one. So God raised up, telling him over and over the same statement. He says, be strong and what? Courageous. Be strong. In one chapter, he says on verse 6, 7, 9, and 18, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. How many times we need to hear that same statement from God? When God is calling us to do something and we feel like, God, I cannot feel the shoes of the person before me. I can't do that job. It's really hard. Kind of what Brother Brian was saying. You feel like everybody knows more than you do. So how am I going to be able to do that? And God, through this word, reminds us that the way we have power to be able to do something is not about your experience or about how good you are. It's about allowing the work of God use you. Allow the Holy Spirit use you as an empty vessel that is full through his power to be able to do new things. That at the end of the day, you can also say, that wasn't me. That was the Lord, and I'm sure about it because I had nothing to do with that. I'm also surprised. So that's the word that Joshua received. Be strong and courageous. And then God also would guide them through a specific action where he was going to show them to you. As I was with Moses, your pre-power leader, I'm going to be with you right now. I'm going to show you that through this battle, my power is going to be with you. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourself. That's very important, brothers and sisters. There are times where God will call us to act on something. He's preparing a new beginning. He's preparing something in your life. But are you ready? Are you consecrated? Is your life in a place where you can say, God, I'm ready so you can use me? Now, to be ready doesn't mean that you are perfect. To be ready means that you are open to say to God, here I am, Lord. Send me and guide me. Doesn't mean you have all the skills. Doesn't mean you have everything figured out. Because as we have explained before, the more you walk with the Lord, the less you know about the future, isn't it? You expected that because you have been a Christian, I don't know how many years, now you have no clue what's happening in 1 hour. Because God can come and send you some person in there and poof, change your entire Sunday. Here where you're ready to go and have your lunch somewhere else, and then you end praying for another person in a place you never even think about it. Has it happened to you? You know, there are times when God loves to come and take your agenda and mess with that. But that's good. So here we have Joshua saying to all the people, be ready because there is something special coming. And what he did is he guided them to tell them how are they going to cross that river, the Jordan River. It was in a season of high waters. It's not that it was in the time of not too much. Let all the Levites, right, take the Ark of the Covenant. And when the priest, right, when the very first one put his feet on the water, then what was going to happen? It was going to open. But you see, they needed to put first their feet in the water. Now, as I have said before to you, if I were one of them, I'll be the one in the very back. go, brother, you go first. Yes, I have no problem. So, but it was still, all of them were there. Then they needed to stand up in the middle and let all the people of God cross that river. And then when they were going to move out of that river, then the water will come back. That was a very strong step of faith. And that was also a way of God telling them, you see what things are going to happen, how things are going to happen. It's when you listen, when you obey, when you're consecrated, and you will see the power of God in many ways. And they saw that. Think how weird is that? Crossing a river in dry land. And just because of that presence of God in there. So because of that, then they were able to cross to the other place, and it was called, how do you know what I'm pronouncing it? Gilgal. Okay, I have heard like 3,000 different tribes. Take one stone per tribe, a total of 12, and you're going to bring them to the edge of that river, and you're going to do a memorial. Why do you do that? It's a way to remember that God has been with them since the moment they move in the promised land and even before that. It's a way to remember and to proclaim the world. Our God, some of you, God capable to do miracles and has been faithful. Life. Maybe some of you are of the power of God in many ways. Amen. Just the fact that you are breathing here is a proclamation that you are living your life in the hands of a powerful Lord. As we talked with El Güero was really ill. I was really concerned. And here he is. That's Leslie's father. That's how we call him. I'm not being offensive, right, Güero? But that's the way we can see how God is the one who proclaims his power to many people. And then after that, we can see how God is coming back with that same statement. Remember. Remember that I have been with you. And by that, the people of God were able to say, you see, God did a miracle. We remember. Therefore, we proclaim to the world who is that right God. So when they moved to the new promised land, to the Gilgal, there were three important things that happened in there. That were a way where this quilt was well put together of God's story with the people of Israel. The first one is that God asked to all those men to be circumcised. Sorry, guys. I'm just saying that. But think about this. For 40 years, the oldest generation, how many of them crossed to the promised land? They didn't cross. They were circumcised. This new generation were people who were born during the desert. They were not in that connection with God as people of Israel. So here he says, I'm going to do this circumcision. And the purpose through that was, it was a way to show to the world, we belong to God. We are part of God's people. And it was a proclamation that was clear and visual for everyone else. But through this is what God was saying. Today, I have, what's the term? Roll away the reproach of Egypt from you. So he was saying through that, I am taking away that stamp that you carry for the longest time as slaves or as people who are in the desert just going in circles, literally. Now, through this circumcision, I'm bringing you back to be the child of God. There are times when you and I are going in circles in life, looking for meaning. We're just doing this exploration of the world, looking for something to validate who we are. And there is that moment, praise God, when many of us, we can see God saying, you know, you have inner lies that are trying to cover who you are for me. And then we listen and we can see God's mercy bringing meaning to our lives again. Amen? Is that roll away. And because of that, they were able to celebrate the Passover for the very first time for the promised land. And that was the way God was putting them back together. And they even putting that story back together as we are one in Christ. In of Jericho, the Israelites celebrate the Passover. That was powerful meaning. He was coming back to say, now you are not people of the wilderness. Now you are my people. And after that, something special happened too. As you remember, they were fed by what in the desert? The manna, right? It was like the daily sandwich of the day. But there was a point when that was needed to stop. And this is when it stops. Because now he says, you don't need to think in yourselves as people going around in circles in the desert. Now you're going to have the opportunity to have roots in this land. You don't need the manna anymore. That's also something that we need to remember. Perhaps there has been things that God has given you in your life to help you grow to a certain extent. But then God senses that that's not necessary anymore, and he's shifting you to be able not to need that, so you learn to grow in another way. Has it happened to you? And say, you know, God was doing this before, but now he's doing it different. Is it that I'm not listening well? Am I in sin? Something is wrong? No. Could it be that you're going? Could it be that he knows, therefore, I'm taking that away? You don't need that anymore. So in this case, that's what he's doing. You don't need this anymore. Now you are able to sustain yourself with what you have around you. So God sometimes is going to put us in that place. But through all of this, the word that is really making a big impact is that roll away. Through that roll away, God was able to put the people of Israel back in reconciliation with him in that promised land. God is also giving us the same. He also wants to put us in reconciliation with him. He also wants to roll away those things in our lives that are in the way. Second, and the way we can see that anew, this beautiful scripture that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is it? The new creation has come. So if you are in Christ, what are you? A new creation. And the old has gone, the new is here. What does that mean? It means that the Lord is stitching all those beautiful squares on your quilt to bring something new. It means that even those dark spots in God's hands have a different meaning, have a different power. You see, yesterday was a great day here. We have the blessing of the bikes, and this is the fifth time that we do this, and it's always one of my highlights of the year. I love to do that. We have every kind of bikes that you imagine. Every time I have holy envy after them because I want everyone in there. And then we have every size of bikers. As you can see, we have this one. I don't know if Kendall is here or he's with his bike somewhere else. But you see, in the midst of that, Herschel, we have a very powerful one, and that was this bike. It was from a lady, and we noticed it, all of us, because it had a different color, and it has a lot of scripture in it. But this one, at the very end, it says that the Lord will strengthen you. And that really touched me. But then, in the front of it, I don't know if you can see, there is like Jesus holding a boy. And when we talked to her, Amy, and we asked her about it, she says, that's my son. He was 12 years old, and he took his own life. And she says, for 4 years, I wanted to join him and do exactly the same. But the only thing that stopped me is that I also had another child, and I didn't want to leave my child alone. But I wasn't a Christian. I never talked about God or with God. But literally one day, I just heard God talking to me and saying to me, you have hope. In me, you can have strength. And she says, from that moment on, it's still difficult to remember that of her child. But she was able to know that stronger than that sadness, and the incense of that sadness was the love of the Lord Jesus, something, and the hope that was bringing new beginning in God's hands. You see, I probably experienced that too a little bit this week. Thank you for your prayers. I went on Monday to see my dad, and my dad has had 3 accidents in the last month. He had 8 stitches in the top of his head a month ago, and last week he had 9 stitches in his in here. The nurse told me if he has fallen just a little bit higher, he would have lost his eye. But what I was concerned was that he wasn't able to make sense when he was talking. And I got there and I asked him, Dad, how are you? And he was able to say my name, but another situation like that before, and they needed to take the bruise from his head. We took a CAT scan. The doctor told me, I think we're going to end in the hospital. Let's see how things go. And after the CAT scan, we saw there was nothing wrong. And the doctor says, there's nothing wrong except that he's aging and his brain is of a man that is 83 years old, but there's nothing wrong. And when I was looking at that and learning, and I was seeing the situation of my parents, and in the midst of that, noticing that they are more vulnerable, and me trying to think, how is this working, God? What's the new normal for them? You're calling me to serve in the United States, but I also need to honor my dad and my mom because you say that in the scripture. And I remember being in a store in Mexico and saying, God, I don't understand how this is going to work. In my math, it's not matching. Or do I stay and take care? It's going to work. And I could hear God saying, I already took care of it in past tense. And I said, okay, God, we have 12 hours to me to figure it out how you did that. Because I need to go back to to San Antonio. And if I don't hear from you, I need to stay. And I don't know what to do. And that afternoon, the concern I had is, can I afford the care that I need? And when I went and I talked to the nurses and I said, I love what you do, guys, but I don't know if I can afford you. The nurses says, we have another option. Based on how your parents are and based on what the doctor said, there is a cheaper option. And when he told us, I said, yes, I can afford that. But then the other miracle was that the doctor that my mom has is offering another thing. And he says, you know, I'll be happy to even rent your house and make this like an elder home so we can take care of your parents as well as other people while they are in their same place. And now, the miracle there is already big. The bigger miracle is when I told my mother. And I thought, oh, Lord Jesus. And then when I told my mother says, you know, let another person one time suggest that. And at that point, I felt, okay, God, you're taking care of this. What about my dad? What about my dad? And it was the end of the day. And I was cleaning the kitchen, and then I hear my dad, Mexico 2, Paraguay 0. And I thought, thank you, Lord, for soccer. No normal. But you see, on that queen there, what I learned was, and even if the new normal, as it went, even if I have heard that it was coming to an end, that it seems to me it's coming soon, one thing I heard on my dad, that in the midst of him having a hard time talking, there were three things that he will remember. He will remember the names of the people he loved. He will remember to pray. And he will remember to say, I'm hungry. But you see, what I learned is that wherever my dad is, here in this earth, on face to face with the Lord, I know he's living an eternal life through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is just us as Christians when we can say, it is well with my soul, even when things are difficult. It is just as Christians when we can say, the pain can be helpful to grow. It is just as Christians when we can understand that God brings meaning even in the pain. And even in there, you find his hand holding you and creating a new wonderful square in that quilt and bringing your life to a new meaning. So through that, what we learn is that God has a ministry of reconciliation. I remember this beautiful statue. It's about a woman who has been looking for her husband after World War II. And she walked by feet looking for him until he found him. And she reconciled with him. And I want you to see yourself in there. Maybe you have tried to walk away from Christ. Maybe you have tried to see what's life without him. Maybe you have been angry at him. But perhaps today, he has been walking to the point of giving his life in that cross and show you that he's looking for you, to reconcile for you. And after that, you and I become his ambassadors. Because it's not about telling somebody the good life or somebody else's story. To see, it's about telling what God has done together, the good and the bad. But to see how God can, where you're sitting, if you want to come to the altar, close your eyes, stand up, whatever connects you with God. And where you are, can you tell the Lord, I want to reconcile with you. I want to bring to you all the different squares of my life, the good ones, the hard ones, the ones that have been difficult to understand, those that are uncomfortable to face. But with you, God, with your power of love, stitch them together to create something new and beautiful. Take my life and do something beautiful for your glory. Take my life and remind me, God, that, and we are thankful, God, for your love and mercy. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Let's stand up and together celebrate who is the Lord for us.